Well, we've been in the series for several weeks where it's called God Breathed, and I just truly have been enjoying it, just enjoying just having moments where I'm just going into the Word of God, and I'm just saying, God, just breathe joy back into me. Breathe life back into me. Give me that excitement for your Word and your voice again. And I just love to hear other people tell me that too, because I've heard a lot of people just saying, you know what, that's right. We just really have kind of forgotten how precious the Word of God is, and we've said for several weeks now that the Word of God is very unique and it's very, very special, and we do need to treat it with reverence, and we do need to treat it with awe, because of the one who's actually breathed these words into life is the Creator of all things, and He is beyond our wildest imagination, but yet He wanted to talk to us, He wanted to breathe life into us. And what's so unique about this Word is it takes people who are dead and it brings them to life. And there is no other book that does that, because this is the living Word of God. And there's a First Peter kind of talks about one of the things that we've been talking about that the Word of God is something that is forever. It doesn't ever end. It keeps going. And the way that First Peter would say it is, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field, and the grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And that's something very unique about the Word of God. It goes on and on and on. You and I, we live and we die and we pass away. And our memories might live in some people for a while, but they eventually forget about us. But God's Word, it lasts forever and ever, and it outlasts us. And sometimes we think that we need to kind of defend the Word of God or uphold the Word of God and kind of go into arguments with people and say, you know, this is the Word of God and this is da-da-da. We like to argue with people about it, but I just think that we got to stop arguing with people, because the Word of God, it stands alone and it defends itself. We don't need to be the defenders of it. And in fact, if we start to take a different attitude and we start to let this kind of come into our lives and let our hearts engage with this, what happens is the Word of God props us up. And the Word of God is spoken through us when people start to see that we're engaged in it and we are living the Word of God. And so today what I want to do is I want to take us from where I said that you know, we need to be in awe of it and we need to look at it as precious and holy, which it's all that. But I want us to take it one step further, because it would be a tragedy if we just looked at this and said, I own one of these. It's beautiful. It's the breath of God. I read it once in a while. I even believe in everything that it says here. But we never engaged in it. Because engaging in the Word of God does something different. One, it changes us and it brings us spiritually alive. And what it does is it speaks to the world around us. Because us and the world around us will start to go, they're not preaching something, but they're actually living something. They'll see you having joy that comes from only God, because they'll see your life and they'll see the trials and the tribulation you went through, and they'll say, how did they find joy? How did they find happiness? Why are they so compassionate? Why are they so caring? Why do they actually invest in people? Because all of a sudden when we engage with it, all of a sudden it makes an impact on us, and then people will go, that Word of God, it must be true. So I want us to move from just kind of looking at it, just the awe and the wonder, into really engaging, because the awe and wonder is important, because the one who wrote this, we have to have some awe. The author of Psalms kind of writes it this way. He says, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. And so The God that breathed out the words that you and I get to breathe in, he's just, he's true, he's righteous, and he also, his love is an unfailing love that is all throughout the world. That's the God that we get to go into the words of the Bible, and we get to engage with, and we get to breathe him in. And then he goes on, he says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host, by the breath of his mouth. And we kind of learned last week that Jesus, it was actually the creative force by which God breathed everything into existence. And so this is the kind of God that you and I serve, and the kind of God that is found in the pages of the Bible. And then it says that he gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. I mean, can you just imagine how big those jars are? I mean, just think about that. I mean, he puts the oceans into a jar. I mean, other scripture says that he's so big that he holds the depths of the ocean in the palms of his hand. This is how big the God that we serve, the God that we worship, the God that breathed these words, that's how big he is. And then it goes on, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. So when God breathed out, everything was created. When God breathed out, everything is held together. God is at the center of everything, and his word is at the center of everything. And the word, it tells us, the word is Jesus. And Jesus is the one who holds everything together. So when you and I go into the Bible, yes, we have this awe, we have this wonder, we have this holy mystery, we have all that. But let's not just stop there. Let's really engage with it. And there's four things I just want to kind of talk about. We could probably have 44 things or more, or 400 things that help us engage with the Word of God. So we come to the point where we're spiritually alive. Because there's a lot of people that you kind of look at the Bible, you've read it once or twice, and you do believe what's in there, but you've really never really engaged with it. And spiritually, you keep wondering where God is, because you're like going, I can't see him moving in my life. I think he's distant. Well, the thing is about God, you have to get into his word, and you have to be in his word, and you have to breathe in his word to get to know him and to become spiritually alive. Because when you breathe in the word of God, what happens is you take in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings us from death to life. So here's just four things that we can do just to kind of engage with it, and just kind of not just treat it as a book or just this thing, but let it impact us. Well, the first thing is breathing it in. So, and then the next thing is eating it, planting it, and wielding it. And we're going to kind of look at those four things briefly. And if you have your bulletins, you'll see there's several scriptures listed out. So we're going to kind of fly through different books of God's Word and just kind of pointing to some of these incredible truths that we can kind of see here. So the first thing is breathing it in. Because now if the Word of God truly is breathed out, What do we have to do with it? We do have to breathe it in, don't we? And for us to breathe it in, it's coming to this with a different attitude. It's coming into the Word of God, and first of all, we got to do something. We got to exhale, right? What do we have to exhale? We have to exhale all the junk, don't we? And what I can tell you is a lot of people that have to exhale is anxiety, stress, anger. People need to exhale some of their emotions that they have towards another person. Some of them need to just breathe out and just exhale of all the junk that's inside of us. And then as we come to it, we're going, God, we're exhaling all this. But I'm just going to breathe this in. And as we breathe this in, it's if you compare it to, like, we breathe in oxygen, right? I mean, we need oxygen to survive. And when we breathe in something that's pure. Hopefully it's kind of pure, unless you're on a farm somewhere maybe, or down in the city. You breathe in oxygen, and it's pure, and it's life-giving. And what do you exhale? You exhale carbon monoxide. That's all the poison. If you don't exhale that, then all that poison would remain in you, and you would die. And if you don't breathe, then what's going to happen is you're going to die as well. And I'm afraid a lot of people, they just kind of go through life, and they never really breathe this in, and they're spiritually, their spirit is gasping for air. It's longing to hear from the living God, but you've never took a moment where you're just going, hello God, I'm just here to be with you. I'm just here to breathe in what you want to say to my soul, because the Word of God is like CPR for our souls. There's a lot of people that down in your soul, you're down, you're overwhelmed, and you don't know what to do sometimes. Well, can I just tell you what to do? Breathe out all the junk and breathe this in. And as you breathe this in, all of a sudden life starts to kind of well up in your soul, and you're renewed. But a lot of people, they never take a moment, and they just kind of glaze through the Bible, or they kind of treat it like a vaccination. Like, it's just something when you're little. You got that vaccination when you're little, and so therefore you don't need it when you get older. And a lot of people, when they're looking at the Word of God that way, they are starving spiritually. And God is going, I want to revive you. And the only way that happens is just you and I decide, and it's a choice, to engage with it. And truly just breathe it in. Now, the Job is in the Old Testament, and Job is an incredible book. If you haven't read it, I invite you to read it, because it's a book about a person who was struggling. They had many difficulties. His life was overwhelming. And he had people trying to speak into his life. And let me tell you, the people, his friends that were trying to help him out, they meant well, but the words that they spoke into his life were kind of empty. And they really didn't help him. But one of the younger men, Elihu, he said these words, and I think in these words, they're so powerful. It says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Isn't that profound? I mean, that the Spirit of God is the one who has made us, who has knitted us together, who knows us intimately. He's in us, moving. But then the Word of God, the breath of God, of the Almighty, is the one who gives you the very life. And He's the one that gives you life to your soul, to your very spirit, when it's feeling down and when it's feeling overwhelmed. Now, we can't come to the Bible and look at it like a checkbox. A lot of people keep doing this. Okay, I got to check this off. I do this, and I do this real quick, and I want to get something real profound real quick. That's not how the Bible works. It's just like how we breathe. From the moment that you were born, what do you need to do? Breathe, right? I mean, they slap a little baby on the butt, right? They cry. That's exhaling all the garbage, right? All the stuff that's in those lungs are kind of expelled, if you will. And then all of a sudden that baby screams, and then breath comes in. And that baby starts breathing from the moment it enters into this world. And it keeps breathing, and keeps on breathing, and keeps on breathing, until one day you breathe no more, and then you are with the living Word of God, Jesus. And a lot of us take the Word of God, and we just do a one-time thing with it. We just kind of set it aside, set it on the shelf. But it gives life. And it tells us in Acts, it says it this way. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. I just love that. That God is the one who gives us life and breath and everything else. And the only way that you and I can get to know God, the only way that you can know what God is like, the only way that you get to know Jesus and about Jesus, is to take these words and actually open them up and breathe it in. And not just a one-time thing, but it's a continually throughout your life. You take deeper, deeper breaths, and as you start to breathe it in, you know what happens? Is the oxygen starts to fill up your lungs expand, and every time you breathe more of this in, you have a greater capacity to take more of it in, and as you take more of it in, and your lungs are filled with the oxygen from the breath of life of God, what happens is that all of a sudden you trust God more. Because all of us experience trials, don't we? We all experience difficulties. We all have things that come along that are unexpected. And then when those things come along, if you haven't been breathing, you're panicking. Several years ago, I took the one of the youth groups on a mission trip down to West Virginia. And we thought it was a good idea to take them whitewater rafting. And it was on the New River. Let me tell you, it was exciting, exhilarating, but terrifying. All in one. When we started out on this little coast, kind of coasting paddle, very calm, and we're all looking at these beautiful banks of rocks, and we're just kind of, oh, this is going to be fun. And then all of a sudden we hear, and we're like going, what's that going to be like? So we see this rapids, we hit this rapid, and we literally, and I was on the front, so I can verify that this happened, and it went straight up when we hit this rapid. I'm holding on like this to the front rope, which we weren't supposed to, but I did. And I'm watching everybody falling out of the boat. And my wife is falling out of the boat, and eventually I fall out. Then we're all in this river. And when we're in this river, I was so frightened because of the power of the current was so powerful. I mean, it would actually suck you under. And it's like you couldn't breathe at times, and you're like gasping for air, and then all of a sudden a wave would hit you, and you're kind of gurgling water, and then this guy is barking out directions, don't lose your paddle. I'm like, I can't even swim. What paddle? What are we talking about? And it's like, and so we're trying to get back to our boat, and he's yelling at us, and I'm looking around, and I find my wife over here, kind of help her get, and then we get to the side of the boat, and I don't know how I did it, but I just kind of helped her throw her up, and then there's some kids threw up in there, so we're like throwing kids and trying to get back in there, and we get back in there, and I'm like going, oh, I can breathe. Shaking, excited, terrified, all the above. And then I put my wife in the front because I think, well, at least I can kind of keep an eye on her because I don't want to lose her. And then so we kind of start going along, and we're breathing. And you know what's true about that is life is like a river. It has a current that pulls us under. There's a lot of people that feel like you're going under and you can't get a breath. You don't know which way to swim. You don't know which way to turn. And every time you try to get a breath, what happens is you get a mouthful of water instead, and you just feel like you're overwhelmed. What I can tell you is when we were in that river, I never wanted to go back in it because the current was so strong. Sometimes that's life. It is so strong. It just pulls us away and rips us away from safety. But as we were going down the river, we kind of got back into it. We went through some little rapids, and we're pretty excited. And all of a sudden, we see this big rapids. And I'm like, oh, no, here we go. Here we go again. But we didn't end up going in that time. But we were in this river, and there was no way out, honestly. People wanted to leave. I mean, we stopped for lunch, and these girls were crying. Because they're like, we're terrified. We're going to walk out of here. Like, good luck with that. You know, it's like there's no way out. That's life, too. There's no way out of this life, is there? We are all going to experience these currents, but in the middle of life, there's a boat, a lifeboat that we can swim to. And when we're gasping and we're drinking, we get to climb into this lifeboat, and for just a brief moment, we can take a breath, and we can just rest there. That's what the Word of God is. It's powerful. It is alive, and it is renewing, and it truly is life-giving. So when we think about going underwater and you're feeling overwhelmed, what I just want you to start to think about this is exhale. Just exhale all the garbage out. And just breathe in the oxygen. Because it's that simple with God. He says, if you can just keep that simple principle of breathing in and breathing out, you will survive. It's going to be okay. As long as I was in that boat, I felt like I was going to be okay. I felt like I was going to make it to the end. And that's the truth about God's Word. When we're in His Word, it gives us hope. When we breathe it. But you know, you can take healthy people, and you can put them in a sealed room, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to breathe themselves to death. Because they're not breathing any new oxygen in. And there's a lot of Christians that do this. On Sunday, you go, it's a little quick sip. You come to church. You get a little bit of scripture reading from the pastor and on the screen. And then you do this all week long. You just hold your breath. You never take a moment and go, hello, God. Here's all the stuff. I'm just taking that oxygen in. I'm just going to let you breathe into my soul. Because when you go from here and you don't breathe, you know what's happening? Your spirit is suffocating. It is dying. And it's not enough just to breathe on Sunday. It's something that becomes part of our daily walk of who we are, and we're engaged with it at a level where we're just marveling at this. And we long to be in this. Because I would never, ever go anywhere in life anymore without the Word of God. I'd never want it from my side, because I can't tell you how many times it's encouraged me, how many times I've been able to encourage other people. And when we leave our homes on a Monday, when you go to work, you don't just take a quick breath and go, I'm going to make it through the day, right? Because if you do that, you'd be like, walking out the door, going to work. How you doing, boss? Things are going great. You'd suffocate. You're going to die. You have too much toxins in when you hold your breath. The carbon dioxide level is going to rise up to a level where you're going to pass out. And God says, that's not how you were designed. You were designed to be with me, the living God. Every single day. Your soul is, the image of God is imprinted on you. And it is craving and wants to breathe me in. So why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we just take a moment and just let God breathe and revive us and bring life again? Let's let the CPR get to our soul and bring us that new life. Because God's desiring that for us. But it's only when you choose. Second thing that we can do is eat it. And when I thought about this, I thought, well, that's a weird expression, right? Eat it. You know, you got Michael Jackson, right? The parody of Michael Jackson. You know that one, just eat it, eat it. Or you got Napoleon Dynamite, Tina, you fat lard, eat it. You know, that's all I could think of when I did this. And but it's true. We need to eat it. Not as a necessity, because a lot of us kind of look at the Word of God kind of like fast food. Fast food is kind of like an impersonating food. It's really not food. You know, if you eat too much of it, it will make you sick. And we have to start looking at the Word of God as a delicacy. As something that we just crave and we want to just eat it and we want to take it very slowly. We don't just want to do a quick 2-minute devotion, 3-minute devotion and be done with it, but we just want to dwell there. We want to savor it. And that's how we engage with it when we start to eat it. And this week, on Friday, Angie and I went out to this restaurant called Leo's. Now, we couldn't go there normally because we couldn't afford it, but we have a 2-for-1 coupon because we're cheapskates. And so we go there, and I didn't eat hardly anything the whole day because I knew we were going to go down there. And I love their filet mignon steak. And by the time I got there, I was like, oh, man, I need food. I need it now. And then we order, and they bring bread. I eat some bread, and it's like, oh, that's just not quite cutting it. And then they bring out the steak. And I can just tell you right now, I'm ready to, like, devour it. My mouth is, like, drooling because I can smell it. And then let me just, a sidebar, they have the best filet mignons that I've ever had. So just in case you're looking for a place to take your wife, that's a good place. But the filet mignon, I get it every time, and I've never been disappointed. And so I'm like, you know, getting that knife, and I'm just cutting a hunk of it. I'm ready to shove it in my mouth, and I put it in my mouth, and it's like, oh, slow down. That is good. I mean, it literally melts in your mouth. And so what I do after that, I took little teeny bites. I like cut that little steak up, and I started to delight in it. I started to cherish it. I started to look at it and go, this is something not to rush through. And as I'm eating it, I mean, every bite, I'm not exaggerating. I'm like, oh, that's so good. And I even said, here, honey, you gotta have some of this. And she's like, I got risotto. I got this seafood thing. And she puts it in her mouth and eats it. She says, oh, that is good. You know, it's like something that you don't rush through. It's a delicacy. And that's the Word of God when we eat it. And we need to kind of take that mentality. And this is what Jeremiah says in chapter 15, verse 16. He says, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O God, O Lord God Almighty. I mean, just can you imagine if this becomes our attitude? We open up the Word of God and it's just like, no agenda. Hello, God. Hello, Jesus. Hey, Holy Spirit, how you doing? Here's all the stuff. I'm just breathing it in. I'm just going to take it into my lungs, to the depths of my soul. And then we start to eat it. And this is a daily activity, that we start to eat it, and we start to cherish it, and we say, this is a delicacy. And I'm surely not going to rush through this meal. Because, you know, in Scripture, you and I are invited to a meal, and this meal is going to be a banquet. And there's going to be more food than you can imagine. And a banquet isn't like a fast food place where you just go in real quick and get some greasy fries and some greasy burgers, and then you're done in 5 minutes. Or less, if you're Vinny. So you down that, but it's no, the Word of God is a banquet. And a banquet is something that has multiple courses. It takes a long time. You're not in a rush. And Jesus, the living Word of God, invites us into to dine with Him, to cherish Him, and to cherish the Word of God. And Revelation and it says in this chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." And when I was like younger, until I started to kind of consume the Word for myself, I was always taught that this is like a verse that you give to non-believers. But you know what? This is not a verse for non-believers. You know what this is? This is a verse that was written to people who are churched people like you and I. Jesus is saying this to people who say that they believe. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Isn't that beautiful? I mean, if Jesus is like knocking at your soul going, "Will you just open the doors? I just want to come in. I just want to be with you." I mean, the banquet we kind of think is about all the food, but the banquet isn't about the food. It's about the person you're with. It's about the relationship with Jesus Christ that you have. And you're not in a rush. And he says, I'm at the door, I'm knocking, I will come in if you open it. And he says, what will he do? He says, he will eat with him and he with me. Well, that's an incredible invitation. For us just to dine with Jesus. Just taking this word and just eating it and just dining and going, wow, this is good. This is so good. I can't get enough of it. I just want to be in it more and more because the Holy Spirit starts to show us that who we're actually dining with is Jesus, who is the author of life, who is the sustainer of life, who is the beginning and the end, who is the Alpha and the Omega, and who is the great I Am. We're dining with. So we don't rush through it, but we eat it. Just like every day you're supposed to eat. The psalmist says it this way, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." It's an invitation. Taste it. Just come and see. It's just an invitation. Now, for some people, they're like going, "But I'm intimidated by it. I don't eat it because I'm afraid of it because there's so much in there and I just don't know where to start." A lot of people say, "I don't have enough time." I'm just saying that's a lame excuse. Just get that one off thing. But I can understand being intimidated. Because you're like going, "Well, I don't know all the books of the Bible." Well, let me just tell you, most people in the church don't know all the books of the Bible. "Well, I don't understand all the hidden mysteries and all the marvelous things that are in there." That's okay. Most people don't understand them all. We need to kind of take this intimidation factor off the table. Because God would never ask you to get into something that you couldn't understand. Just like when a baby is born, you don't go to the baby, "Here's some barbecued ribs and here's some barbecued hot wings hot sauce. Go for it." What do they do when a baby's born? They give them milk, right? They give them what they can handle. And the baby begins to drink the milk, and as the baby drinks the milk, eventually the baby will want some type of cereal, something with a little more substance. And then it gets into the toddler years, and all of a sudden they say in the back seat, "Hey, give me some chicken tenders from Chick-fil-A." And then they get to their teen years, and then they're saying, "I want that steak you have, Dad." And you're like, "No, can't have it. You can have the chicken fillet." And what happens is the baby grows and grows and grows. And you eat it from the beginning to the end, but you have to understand, in the beginning, some people can only handle milk. That's okay. You just need to start eating it. And as you're saying, but I can handle some milk and some Cheerios. I mean, those Cheerios, I mean, you try to get them to your mouth and they kind of fall all over, but I can handle a little bit of it. That's okay, wherever you're at. Maybe you can handle the chicken tenders. God just says, "Come in and dine with me." And when you start to dine with God, and you start to cherish it, and you start to breathe it in, all of a sudden you're going, "Whoa, this God of the Bible is like no other. His love is unfailing. He desires a relationship with me. He wants to sit at a table. And it's not about the food, it's about a relationship. Wow. But God says, you just got to start somewhere. Jesus said it this way in Matthew. He says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And for Jesus, that's no big deal. He's already turned water to wine. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We have to be engaged with the Word of God. We have to be consuming it and treating it as a delicacy. With an excitement, with anticipation. Because when I was going to Leo's, I had a lot of anticipation. And every time I open up this, I better have some anticipation. And I better, once I start eating, I drink that milk, I better not stop growing. I need to consume and I need to get the meat. And that steak is juicy. And it does melt in your mouth. Because it's the Word of the living God. The third thing that we have to do, is we have to plan it. That's how we engage you. You plan it into your lives. And in ministry, I found myself in many situations that are very difficult. Where I come to a hospital and there's a child that's sick or a person's been diagnosed with cancer or somebody has an illness that they just don't even know what they have and they're overwhelmed. And in those moments, in those emergency moments, people will like anchor. They'll set root into the Word of God. It's like the Psalm 62 is one of my favorite psalms that I bring and I kind of read people. And it says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress and I will never be shaken. And it's like people hear that and it's like, that's what I need. I need to know that in the middle of this river of life where the current is sweeping me away, that there is a God that I can put my roots down into and He does not change. I have never once had somebody, when I've been in the hospital room and I open up the Word of God, I've never had one person say, sorry, I got to leave. People are looking for that. But there's a different thing that we need to do. It's okay to look for it in those emergency situations and put root down in the emergency situations. But it is far greater if you take time to start to plant the seed of the Word of God in your life, in the furrows of your life, where you start to plant those things, where they start to sprout and they start to grow and they start to take root before you're in the emergency, before you're in the valley of the shadow of death, before you're there. You do this because then all of a sudden when you're in the valley of the shadow of death and life seems to be overwhelming, all of a sudden you're going, I have a God that I can stand on. And I am rooted in Him. And as we plant it in our lives, you know, it starts to grow. And as it grows in our life, it produces fruit. And what's inside the fruit is seeds. And those seeds get passed on to next generations. That's why it's so important that we plant it in here. Not just kind of something that we kind of go along and kind of just in the emergency moments, but we need to pass that seed on. We need that next generation to understand how powerful this Word is. And when you devour it and you eat it and you cherish it and you breathe it in and you start to plant it in your life, it changes who you are. Everything about you. Not because you're changing you. It's because the Spirit of the living God that is breathed out on the pages in here is pointing you to Jesus, who is the living hope of the world. And then all of a sudden your life has changed. And then you start to plant that seed into other people's lives. And you're like going, well, how do I plant that seed into other people's lives? Well, Jesus talks about it in Luke chapter 1 and in one of the parables. He's scattering seed. He's planting seed, this farmer. You and I are the farmer. We're supposed to be out scattering seeds and planting seeds in people's lives. And yeah, sometimes it falls on the rocks. Sometimes it falls on ground that it doesn't take root in. But in other areas, it takes root. And how do we do that practically? Somebody's sick. And you know that they don't know God. You say, hey, I'm praying this over you. Not just, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying this verse. And you type it up and you send it to them. Like, well, I know what they're going to say. They're going to go, oh, I don't like those words of God. Oh, I knew that they were going to do that. Doesn't matter. You send the seed. You know, when they get the text, they're going to read it. And the Holy Spirit of God, He is going to put that seed and plant it exactly where it needs to go, and it will take root. Because this is what it tells us in Isaiah. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In other words, we can't fathom God. We can't figure out how he works. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the flower or the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. In other words, God's word is unstoppable. God's word, when it goes out and we plant that seed, we plant it in our lives, we plant it in other people's lives, it is going to do exactly what God has intended it to do. You don't have to be the one trying to force it down somebody's throat. God does it. He's going to plant that seed. But we have to start planting it into my life. But just imagine if we start to go, the word of God, it's the oxygen for my soul. Breathing it. I'm eating it. I'm cherishing it. And I'm planting it. Can you imagine what's going to change in us? It's our heart. Can you imagine the love that we're going to have for God's word, that when we start to go, this is a feast and I'm not going to rush through this. Word of God, I just want you to speak. Breathe it. Breathe this life into me. What happens is we start to breathe out anger. We start to breathe out jealousy. We start to breathe out all these things that are toxic to our souls. And God's renewing and giving us life. And then he's growing us. And the last thing that we just need to do is we need to wield it. Wielding it is not a thing that we usually kind of think of very often. But if in Ephesians chapter 6, it's the armor of God. And maybe you've read that before. If you haven't, I invite you to read those scriptures. They're so powerful. Because it's about putting on all this armor. You put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and then you put on the word of truth. And you put on all these things, and all this armor, it's like a defensive weapon. It kind of holds back the enemy from all the attacks and all the troubles and all the deception that he tries to bring in our lives. It's like those help kind of get rid of that. You have a shield. But there's something that you wield. And the way that it says it is in verse 17. He says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we have a sword. And you notice how you have all the way throughout the Bible, you have the sword, you have the Spirit, and you have the word of God together. You have the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God breathed out, moving and active, working. You have a sword, and we need to take the God's word seriously. It's the only thing that we have as an offensive weapon against the enemy. The enemy is going to come at you, and is going to try to drown you in the river. It's going to try to bring confusion into your life. It's trying to bring hopelessness into your life. But when you start to wield the power of the word of God, meaning that you know the word of God to the point where you're like going, okay, I've ate this word. God has breathed this in, and I'm taking this word right here because Satan, you, those thoughts that you just put in my mind, you have no right to be in my mind. The unhealthy image that you put up in my heart about myself, I am using the word of God because I am made in the image of God, and this is how God sees me. You're wielding this as an offensive weapon, and you're pushing back the attacks of the enemy. And you know, we don't think about the word as being something so that powerful, but it's the only offensive weapon that we have to help us in this life. And it's only when you and I choose to wield this truth. I've got a sword. I'm going to use it. I've got something that I need to devour, to eat, and I'm going to eat it. And I need to breathe all this in. God says this is the attitude of our hearts and our minds when we approach his word and we start to engage with it. And as I was engaging with it this week, I read Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 is one of the most powerful books, chapters in the Bible. It's actually one of the largest chapters in the Bible. I think there's 176 verses in it. And it's found in the biggest book in the Bible, in the Psalms. And you know what that particular book chapter has to deal with? all about the Word of God. It's like God was going, "Hello, Kelly. Do you know what the Word is? Do you know how powerful it is? Do you know how much it is of a delight? Do you understand that if you taste and see and you see that it's good, it's all right here?" And as I was reading through Psalm 119, so many things stood out, but the thing that stood out to me was in verse 16, but I want to read a couple of verses first. And start with verse 10. It says, "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount the laws that come from your mouth." I'm breathing it in. "I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." And then I got to this line. In verse 16, "I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." I had to stop when I got there because this is what I felt like God was saying. Do not neglect my word. And in that moment, I had to go step back and go, "I'm repenting, God. God, I'm sorry. God, I've went through the kind of the study. Get me this. Give me. And God, I did treasure it. I did understand that you're on the pages, but I just didn't breathe it in. And I just didn't continually eat. I didn't continually sow it into my life or plant it in my life as a seed. It's like I'm like going, okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not wielding it. I'm sorry for when the enemies came against me and I got so down and I got so discouraged that I just wanted to give up. I wanted to say, God, you must not be true. I'm sorry, God, because I was not wielding your truth." For some of you, maybe this morning is just you just taking a moment with God and going, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have not remained faithful to your word. I have not revered it. I have neglected it." You know what's so incredible is God will go, "You're forgiven. Let's start over." And he makes us spiritually alive again, and he breathes life into the soul, and we go through this whole process all over again. You know, maybe you haven't took any time to be in God's word. Or you just kind of look at it as a mysterious book that goes on a shelf. Just take time and just breathe it in and go, "God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry I've neglected this." And for those of you that are just every day that you're just pouring through this, then maybe your prayer could simply be just, "Hello, Jesus. I'm here. I've been trying to do all these things. I have been discouraged. I have been overwhelmed. But I'm going to go to the lifeboat. I'm just going to breathe. Because we're all in the river. And we're all going to experience it. And just breathe it in and let it renew you. Let it give you life again." Join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and your word is so incredible when we look at it, Lord. How you've designed it to come into our lives and how your spirit moves it into our hearts. And then as your spirit moves it into our hearts, your son is revealed and we have a relationship with you. And God, it is beyond our comprehension how you do this. But God, we just want to say that we thank you for your word. We love your word and we are sorry when we are not faithful to it. God, revive the souls that have been broken and the souls that are just weary. Help them to see the truth about you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.